What was Jesus' second petition that he brought to his Father? That is a question I shall try to answer today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This radio broadcast comes to you every week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Father, we pray now you open our eyes to see thy divine truth for the benefit of our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is from John chapter 17, where we find Jesus' high priestly prayer. John 17 begins like this. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Last week I spoke to you about the two model prayers in the Bible. The model prayer for Jesus' followers, for Jesus' disciples, is in the Sermon on the Mount. It begins like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the first petition of this disciples' prayer is, hallowed be thy name. That means we, his followers, the Lord's followers, need to keep the name of God holy by the way we live. That means we want God to help us to be holy in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our attitudes, in our reactions, and in our desires. Hallowed be thy name. That desire for holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, must ever be found in every fiber of our soul. So, the first petition of the disciples' prayer is, Hallowed be thy name. Now, the first petition of Jesus' prayer, which is really the Lord's prayer, is, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Here, Jesus' first petition is that he would come back to the place where he could glorify God, where he could give due praise, adoration, and honor to God, as he was able to do before he entered into the limitations of human flesh and before the world was created. That was Jesus' first petition. Now we come to Jesus' second petition, found in verse 3 of this passage, and here it is. Quote, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want you to know that this prayer Jesus prayed here was a prayer for his disciples. As a matter of fact, Jesus says further on in verse 9 of this chapter, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Keep this in mind all the time as we go through this high priestly prayer. This prayer is Jesus' prayer for his faithful followers and not for the world. So the first petition Jesus has for his faithful followers, whom God had given him, is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, isn't this remarkable that these disciples had been with Jesus almost 3 years, and they had been with him day after day, morning and night, and here Jesus is praying to his Father that they might know thee, God, and that they might know me, Jesus, whom God has sent. Don't you think that by now these 11 disciples, Judas was gone, knew Jesus well enough that Jesus wouldn't have to pray such a prayer that they might know Jesus, that they might know me, whom God has sent? But no, my friend, these disciples did not know Jesus well enough. They didn't really know Jesus as well as they ought to know him, or as they could know him, or they hadn't come to the end of all there was to be known about him. Of course, one of the things which had to occur to help them to know Jesus more and more was the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would reveal to them the deeper things of our precious Savior. Isn't it rather interesting to see the arrogance of many believers today, born-again people, who go about acting as if they know everything there is to be known about Jesus? And so they spend more time, by far more time, watching their television programs and going to sports events and reading all kinds of magazines that have nothing to do with Jesus, instead of them studying the Bible, instead of them spending hours each week alone with God in meditation and prayer in order to know Jesus, to really know Jesus the Savior. Oh, my friend, you say you know Jesus? Well, the Apostle Paul said otherwise. Do you know what he said? He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him. He said that I may know him. Here he has preached the gospel for many years. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had great revelations of the Lord. And yet he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The Apostle Paul came to the conclusion very early in his Christian life that the more he knew about Jesus, the more there was to be known about this dear Jesus. So in a sense, this great apostle said, I know him, yet I don't really know him. But I keep working on getting to know him better, the one who created the universe, the one who saved my soul, and the one who ever lives to make intercession for me. It is obvious that so many of us don't know Jesus by the way we act, by the way we behave, by the way we respond, by the shallowness and lukewarmness of our lives, by our disinterest in spiritual things and the Word of the Lord, by our lack of ability to talk to him more than 2 or 3 minutes before we run off, by our lack of conforming to his perfect and acceptable will. Oh, can you see now how justified the prayer of Jesus was? Jesus' first petition for us expresses our greatest need as people born of God, that we might know him, God the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. For knowing him is eternal life. As our text says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That they, these 11 disciples, might know the Father and the Son, that is life eternal. That they might know him well enough to get lost in him, to be constantly focused on him, and to be absorbed by him. Oh, Jesus' prayer is that they might know thee through me, whom thou hast sent. And it is through them knowing me that they will know thee, the Father, that they might know thee and me to the extent that as I'm lost in thee, Father, that they may be lost in me and in thee, that their every thought, that their every motive, that their every action, that their every dream and aspiration be seasoned by knowing me and by knowing thee, O Father. This, my friend, is life eternal. This is eternal life dwelling in our souls moment by moment. Yes, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the word know here comes from the Greek word gnosko, and it means to know absolutely, to know in a great variety of applications. To know Jesus in sickness, to know him in storms, to know him in loneliness, to know him in the valleys of life, to know him in the dark places, to know him when we go through the fires, to know him when we stand at the gate of death, to know him when friends forsake us. Dear one, do you really know Jesus in all these applications, that when you get to these places, that you can say, the Lord is mighty and powerful to help, to deliver, and to lift. I worship him, I praise him, and I love him. Can you get to know the infinite God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who fills all space? Can you get to know him in a few seconds at an altar of prayer? The answer is no. And this is Jesus' prayer for himself. It is that I may be glorified, as I once was glorified, so that I might be able to glorify my Father, as I once did glorify him before the world was made. Jesus was continually, entirely focused on his Father. And this is Jesus' prayer for us here, the first petition, that we might know him. Jesus, absolutely, we might know him in every way, for to know him is to live holy. For to know him is to love all people, friends and enemies alike. To know him is to want to proclaim him. To know him is to commune with him, moment by moment, all day long. To know him is to rejoice evermore and to pray without ceasing. To know him is to read about him with great interest. To know him is to meditate upon him. To know him is to obey him. To know him is to worship him, not just Sundays, but every day of our lives. To know him is never to be disappointed. To know him is to become like him. To know him is to experience the greatest joy possible on this side of eternity. Isn't this a great petition of the Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples who had been physically with him for 3 years, day and night, saying to them, and this is life eternal, that they might, it says, might know thee, the only true God, and they might know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. My Christian friend, I plead with you today, if you have stopped pursuing the knowledge of God and his dear Savior, pick it up again, and once again you'll experience life eternal running through your soul every moment of the day like an artesian well. For he who constantly believeth and trusteth in him and seeketh after him out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now we come to the end of this great message. I want to give you my web page again. If you have the internet and you like to contact me, you can contact me through my web page. You can write me a letter. So my web page address is www.schulze, that's schulze.org. Schulze, schulze.org. I'd like to hear from you. I'm Pastor Schulze with a Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.